Blog Talk Radio.
And honestly, that's what, to Suzanne, to your point, I totally agree with you in theory. The problem is, I don't know how in practice something like that is ever going to work. I think, unfortunately, we're always going to be in a reactionary state with this situation. I mean, is there some way?
The Lord, new beginnings are not just for the young. Praise God. Praise God. For those of you that may be over 60 like me, that's a good thing to hear. New beginnings are not just for the young. We welcome you to New Beginnings Ministries Wednesday night interactive Bible study. I'm Dr. Suzanne Hawthorne Clay, and my husband, Dr. John Clay, will be joining us shortly, but I'd like to get us started this evening. I hope everyone is good and settled. I hope you have your sword ready and your pen and paper ready to write down and take notes, because we have somebody who's going to minister to us this evening who is on fire for the Lord and always brings a wonderful message. I want to remind you that if you're calling in or if you're online, the guest call-in number is 347-237-4054. Our messages are recorded and they are archived in our library on Blog Talk Radio. You just go there and you'll see hundreds and hundreds of messages. If there's something that you missed or someone that you want to hear, if there's a topic, you can go by topic, you can go by the author of the message, you can go by scripture to go through and find different teachings that we've had over the years. This evening, our speaker is Pastor Don Mixon, and Pastor Mixon is coming to us from Long Island, New York. Her title this evening is After This, and she's coming from the text of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Before we do that, I would like to offer up prayer. We have a few people that have called and some folks who have shared that are requesting prayer from us. So I'm going to start the prayer, and if there is someone else who has prayer, who has a need, if you would just chime in and add your person as well. Father God, we praise your name, dear Lord, and we thank you, Father God, for this time, dear Lord, that we have set aside this evening on Wednesday evening, everywhere Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, dear Lord, to come before your throne, dear Lord. Father God, if we thank you and praise you for this platform that you've allowed us, we thank you, Father God, that you would, excuse me, if someone has their phone that has noise behind them, please mute your phone. We thank you for this time in the Holy Spirit, Father God, this time together, dear Lord, that we can come together and praise your name, dear Lord, to seek your will, Father God, to seek the word, to read through the word, Father God, and get an understanding, Father God, to minister to one another, dear Lord, to be in fellowship, Father God, with saints, Father God, from all over everywhere, dear Lord. We time, dear Lord. We think this time, Father God, is appointed by you, Father God, and we praise you and we thank you for it, dear Lord. Father God, we lift up a few people, Father God, because we know, dear Lord, that you're a God that heals, Father God, and you're a God that provides, dear Lord. And so there's some folks, dear Lord, that are seeking, Father God, they're seeking relief, Father God, and healing, Father God. So we just lift up Ruth T's daughter, who's been diagnosed with breast cancer. We thank you, Father God, that diagnosis is not final, that diagnosis, Father God, is by man, Father God, and not by you, that you are our creator, and you knew us when we were even being created in our mother's womb. And along with her, we lift up Stephanie B., and we ask you, Father God, to also, the same thing with her, that don't let the report that we're going to believe is the report of the Lord, Father. We praise you and thank you, dear Lord. We lift up Teresa Saunders' daughter and also Desi, who recently had a stroke. We lift her up too as well, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that there was no damage, major damage from the stroke, Father God, and that her recovery and recuperation, Father God, be smooth. We lift up the family of Damon Harari as they mourn the passing of his wife. We lift up the family of Tani Neva who recently passed after having a stroke. For Eric Jones, we celebrate and we thank you, Lord, for his healing. We lift up Danielle Thomas the Griffin family, the Drinsky family, the Walker family, the Durant family, all for losses and for those that are caretaking of family. We lift up and praise you, Lord, for Nancy S., Father God, for what you're doing in her life, Father God, that although the journey is kind of rough right now, Father God, that we're believing, Father God, that for the healing, Father God, and for the ministry that's going to come from this experience. We pray for the family of Dr. Sam McGrath, that, and we're looking forward to the good report that even this doctor, Father God, is seeking prayer, Father God, knowing that you are the grand physician. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Father God. We ask for healing and support for Sherlene Perkins. We ask you, Father God, that these folks that we pray for, that you would bless their caregivers and the family members, Father God, that are taking care of them, Father God, the family members that are mourning, Father God, and those, Father God, that are going along the journey with them. We lift up Keita Thompson, Altamise Bell, Linda Taylor, Karen Clayton, Father God, that we ask you for prayer for them, for healing for them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise and thank you. We ask you, Lord, to continue to keep Lisa Doggett encouraged, Father, in Jesus' name, and Patsy Coggins as well encouraged. We lift up the family of Matthew Stevenson right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you're encouraging Bill Spratlin, Corey Hamler, the Hobbs sisters, Father, in the name of Jesus, and Pearlie Keller, Father God, as she recuperates as well. And we also ask for prayer, ask for a blessing, Father God, for our brother Norman Rice, that you would keep him strong and healthy, Father God. As I open up the mics, and if there's anyone else that wants to add any of their loved ones or prayer concerns that they may have to add, this would be the time to do so.
Okay, Yolanda. Her granddaughter got drowned Saturday, 5 years old, in the swimming pool.
Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, bless that family, dear Lord. Bless that family. It's not natural for a child to go before the parents, Father God, or grandparents, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, that that baby is in your arms, Father God, that he's resting in your bosom, Father God. And I ask you, Lord, to let your wings go around that family, dear Lord, that they would be comforted, Father God, that the Holy Spirit would comfort them, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that they would just look to each other, Father God, for support and for encouragement, Father God. But look to you, dear Lord, from where our help comes from. We praise you and we thank you, dear Lord, that you are watching and you are with that family. Your word tells us that you will never, ever leave us and will never be alone. So I thank you, Lord, that they will feel the presence, your presence, as they go through this journey, Father God, of mourning and loss. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Father,
Mother,
God,
Gloria's daughter-in-law, she had open heart surgery. Yes, you did that?
And
praise God.
We pray for Mother Gloria's daughter-in-law with the open heart surgery and for Eric Jones and for Nancy Shaw, for Nancy Shaw.
Yeah.
Going through heart surgery as well. We thank you, Father God, and we praise you, Lord, for how awesome the medical system and the medical abilities are now, dear Lord. We praise you for that, dear Lord, because we know that it comes from you. And we thank you, Father God, that you have orchestrated these things as something for us to use. You have given the doctors the knowledge to do it. So we thank you, Father God, that as these three people, Father God, are recuperating from open heart surgery, Father God, that the healing would begin, Father God, that they are, that the mending would take place, that their recuperation and restoration would be speedy, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that even in these things, Father God, even in the healing, Father God, that they will praise you, Father God, and the doctors will recognize, Father God, that it is you. And that's where the praise should go, not to the doctors, not to the nurses, the hospitals, and all of those folks, but the praises and the awesome recognition should go straight to you in the name of Jesus. We praise you, dear Lord.
Yeah.
Praises, 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 praises. Thank you, Father. Father God, we lay these prayers at your feet, Father God, not to pick them up and take them back home with us, Father God, but we lay them at your feet, Father God. We look forward to the praise report. We come against any backlash or retaliation right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, we have Pastor Dawn Mixon. Are you there?
God bless you. How are you?
Praise God. My sister, I'm so excited about your message tonight. I got my ink pen ready and my notebook is all warmed up and ready to go. So I'm turning the mic over to you.
God bless you. I'm so grateful to be on the line with you all today. Please reach out to someone and let them know that we are here and that there is a word from the Lord as you are praying for those who are going through, especially for the five-year-old baby. I'm praying for her parents as well as her family. As you said, it's not natural for a child to leave here before their parents or even grandparents. And what we don't understand, God does know, because we don't know what was before that baby. And so God knows what's best, and we put it in the hands of the Lord. We put the hands of the family's emotions and heartbreaks and different things like that in their hands, in the hands of God, as well as all of those who have suffered in some way of a loss or just going through some medical challenges. We pray for them as well. We're going to the word of the Lord. We're going to 1 Peter, and even though our focal verse is verse 10, we do want to start at verse 1, as it is a short chapter. So we're going to read that in its entirety. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you for being so kind to us. We thank you, mighty God, for you always bring forth a word that you will say to the people of God that will be a life-changing word for them. We pray, oh God, that we would absorb this word. We would receive this word, that we will be able to bless someone else with this word. And so we thank you even now, God, for being such a kind God and a blessing to us, even in a time where people are unsure. One thing I am sure is that you are God and you hold the power of the world in your hands, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. 1 Peter 5, I'm going to first read this in its entirety, and then we're going to deal with our focal verse. The first one says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." I'm going to read that again. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By civilians, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected to get together with you, salute you. And so doth Marcus, my son, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to deal with just briefly after this.
There are many aftermaths. There are many things that take place after situations, after we've done something for a little while, there is something that will take place. Now, whether we things may happen in your life that start off real good, and all of a sudden, after the good has been done, something happens that counteracts that is bad, or vice versa. Something can start off bad, and after a while, it starts off good. Whether it be good or bad, please understand that know that you are going to go through suffering as a child of God. It is not something that you can escape. It is not something that's not going to happen. But one thing I love about God is that God is never going to put more on you than you can bear. So whatever we deal with in our lives, we're going to have to deal with, and God is going to sustain us in it. Not only that, but what we go through in our lives that may seem difficult are faith builders. Let's understand what faith builders are. Faith builder is something that builds your faith. It is something that causes you to trust God even the more once you come out of a situation. So you can go through a trial and tribulation, and after the trial and tribulation is over and you see God's glory, after that, you then see God's glory, then what ends up happening, you start trusting God even the more, because when you thought that it was all over, you were going to fail, you were going to completely be without everything, depending on the situation that you were going through, you will find yourself saying, oh my God, if he brought me through this, then he can bring me through that. And so then you become grateful, and you may not it causes you not to react in a way of panic when you have had experience with God. And when you have experience with God, then you understand that I've been brought through this. Never mind what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, it looks real bigger than what I am. My situation looks bigger, but when I start acknowledging the fact that what God has already done and accomplished in my life, what looks so big, when I realize and I put God next to it, we'll find out it's not as big as we thought. So when we look at this beginning of this particular chapter, talking about the elders, which are among us, that exalt each one as witnesses of suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that is revealed. Listen, we cannot be in a place of leadership and not expect any suffering. We can't just always think, okay, because a lot of times people think when you're in a leadership position, it is a glamorous, glorious position. You think that until you actually take on the position, and you'll find out that there is an attack. The adversary is always on the back of a true leader that is connected to God. I'm going to say that again. A true leader that is connected to God is always going to have to deal with an attack over their life. You can't escape it, no matter how much you try. It's a part of the suffering. We always say they persecuted Jesus. They always talked about Jesus. If they can talk about Jesus
then we can be talked about. So if Jesus being who he is, our Savior, our Lord, the one who has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy, those who have he's helped give us life, and he's brought us through many trials and tribulations, if it was not for God, we would not be where we are. And yet still, we turn our backs on God, talk about God. We try to do things and try to turn people away from God. People have done that. And when that happens, we think that when stuff happens to us, that it shouldn't happen. No, no, it should happen, because if I'm connected to God, then you have to understand, greater works than you shall do, than these shall you do, as Jesus said. Not only the greater work you are going to do, but you're going to deal with greater persecution as well. So you've got to understand, you cannot do this as a leader or an elder or anything in the church and think that you're going to float on by with just things being easy. I realize that with every promotion that I've ever had, whether it be on my job or whether it be in ministry, there was always attack that came on my life before, prior to, or after. And so things used to be difficult for me in that area, because I always knew something was coming. And sometimes I got to the point where, you know, enough was enough, you know, because sometimes we forget that leaders have emotions and feelings, no matter how hard the outside of the shell looks to you. They do have feelings. They do have emotions. They do cry. They do care about their family. So we can't just think, okay, well, let's do the glory part or the glory benefits of God, being able to walk in and do ministry and God use you in a mighty way. And sometimes it baffles the mind of one who is being used by God, especially if their background wasn't so great. And then God will turn around and use you for his glory. We've got to understand, but it's for his glory and not for our own. And so we've got to understand, we've got to learn how to submit to our elders. And sometimes, watch this, this is what makes it difficult for some people who are in church. Sometimes your elder is elder in ministry, but they're younger to you in age. Some people have a difficult time dealing with having to submit to someone who is younger than them. And what we've got to understand is that we're not submitting to their age. We're submitting to the anointing on their life. And you've got to understand also that there are people, my God, I don't know if you've ever seen young people who are just so mature, and we call them, that's an old soul right there. That person got an old soul, because something about them is just so seasoned, even at the age of 15, 20, 35, you know, years old, and you say, this baby got such an old soul. And they sometimes it's because they've been reared up into under elders, leaders, just the old saints. And so they carry that old season anointing over their life. And so sometimes we've got to understand, just because one is a individual is younger does not mean God will not use them in an anointed way, where he will put them in a place of leadership of an elder. And so sometimes when we look at that, we discredit them because we look at their age. But if you will go back into the Old Testament, you'll find out there were kings who were very young. And so it was about them getting on this throne at certain ages. They were recognized as kings, even at young ages. And so sometimes we've got to understand that there are some that we are going to have to be humble in, and sometimes that's difficult for us to do that. But we've got to understand that we know that God is not going to put somebody that, let me make it very clear, whom God has put over us. When God puts somebody over you, then you have to understand that sometimes I may not understand or even like the way it's moving or going in the direction that it's going in, but I will humble myself to my leader. So we've got to understand that the Bible also talks about in verse 8, there is a certain way that we've got to be. Before we even get to verse 8, it talks about casting your cares upon him, all your cares, everything, your worries and all your things that are pressing you or oppressing you, those things. over to God. We keep carrying things that don't belong to us. And I've been dealing with a lot of things I've been dealing with on my mind. There's always something coming from the left and coming from the right. And I'm like, I'm trying to hold on to this and still have to do this over here. And there's expectation of me over here. And I feel like there's times where I'm being pulled in every direction. And I'm caring about this. I'm worried about that. I'm concerned about that. And sometimes in all of that, sometimes you miss people because they don't realize all of the people is not just you. Sometimes there's a whole lot of people that one individual has to deal with, and you're being pulled from every direction. And as I was talking to my International First Lady, I was doing something, getting ready for our broadcast the last time we had one. And I said, oh, my goodness, I forgot my password for this. And she said, you know what? You've got too much on your mind. She said, when you do something like that, you've got too much on your mind. And I said, Co-Pastor, that's very true. And that was the only time I've heard it. I heard it again. There's too much on my mind. I said, well, God, how do I get all of this stuff off of me, and where do I put it? He says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. See, the thing is that God cares about you so much. If you understood how much God cares for you, we put more on us than we can bear. It's not that God gave it to us. We've taken it on. And when we learn that we can cast those cares on to God, he'll work it out, then we'll find ourselves having a better quality of life, not just spiritually, but naturally. So there has to be a balance within our lives that we got to understand that you can't carry all the weight of another individual and carry your weight and then carry somebody else's weight. You've got to cast all your cares upon him. And so when we look at verse 8 says, be sober. I'm going to say that again. Be sober. I'm going to say it again. Be sober. So we got to be sober. We got to be diligent. We've got to understand that, because if we are not in a place where we are in our right mind, that we are being able to carry the things and have spiritual guidance, we've got to always walk according to the will of the way of God. Why? We've got to always walk in a spiritual realm, those who are in leadership. Why? Because the Bible lets us know your adversary, the devil. I'm going to say it again. Not sister so-and-so, not brother so-and-so, not your cousin, not your boss, not the one who just tells you that they can't stand you. It is the adversary, your adversary, the devil. And a lot of times we think that people are the devil. No, people are sometimes used by the devil, but they are not the devil. So we've got to understand that the enemy, he comes as a roaring lion, watch this, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. If we are not careful, it is the grace of God that helps us and sustains us. It is the grace of God that continues to move us in the places that we should go. And when we do that, we understand we've got to always be watchful in our prayer life. We've got to be watchful in our journey with the God that we serve, because you've got to understand, anytime you are somebody that has holds position, not only holds position, but you can be anointed to do many things in the kingdom besides holding the mic. You could be anointed to usher on the usher board. You can be anointed to be a dancer in the kingdom of God. You could be anointed, oh my God, just to be a welcomer or a greeter. Whatever you do, and I shared this with my church before, whatever you do it under the anointing of God. You should be able to do whatever God called you to do better than anybody else that does it. Because, why? Because you are anointed to do so. Watch this. You will be surprised how the enemy can even be after those people who greet you at the door. Why? You say, okay, they don't have a big position. They are the first people that you see when you walk in the door. Normally, it's your church, your greeters, or your ushers. So you've got to understand, if you got a greeter with the wrong spirit and you come in and you were all right when you first got in the door, please know that the adversary will try to use that situation and say, okay, I'm not coming back to this church anymore. I don't want to hear nothing they have to say, just from the front, because of how
you were presented when you first walked in the door. So we've got to understand the enemy will try to get you in every little thing, subtle thing, things that you think don't mean anything. That's what you got to understand. That's where the enemy will come. Because why? It'll start off real small, and it seemed like, oh, it was no big deal. By the time it comes back after everything was over, after it seemed like everything was finished, after it seemed like all things were taken care of, that's when the enemy will set a bomb right there and cause something that was so minute, make it explode into something bigger than what it was. And then when everything is over, we found out that I don't even know what we were arguing about for, what did this all start for. So we've got to understand there is an after this. You've got to understand what God is doing is God is preparing us. He is preparing his leaders. He is preparing his saints. He is preparing all of us. Watch this. What is he preparing us for? We've got to understand we must resist, be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen, you're not the only one going through something. I'm going to say it again, because sometimes we think we're the only one in the world going through something. You are not the only one who is going through some type of suffering in the body of Christ. You're not the only one who's going through suffering in the world. And so sometimes when our suffering comes upon us, we think ain't nobody else dealing with it like us. Nobody is going through nothing worse than us. Nobody's had a greater trial than us. You'll find out that people in other countries and other places in this world are going through some things that you've gone through as even greater. But watch this. Your suffering is only for a time. You've got to understand the suffering is not going to last always. But the Bible says in verse 10, but the God of all grace, thank you, sir, the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Let's stop right there. He has called us in unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. The only way that we could get to the eternal glory of God, which is the heavenly places with God, to be able to be called for in that, we've got to understand the only way that could happen was by Christ Jesus. Why? Because if Christ Jesus did not do what he did by redeeming us and bringing us back from our adversary, we will find out that we would never have been called to eternal glory. So while we're going through what we're going through here on earth, there is an after this. My God, all the suffering that you went through, all the things people talked about you, all the things people said and didn't even know who you were, never met you, but based their thoughts about you based on somebody else that disliked you, that didn't know you either. So we've got to understand, you're going to have to take on the weight of this and don't allow those things to overtake your life, but know that whatever suffering you go through, whether it be the suffering of losing a child or the suffering of losing a parent, a spouse, losing everything you have, being put out on the street. There are people who are suffering right now who are in cars, lost their job, don't know if they're going to be able to sustain their house. And you're saying to yourself, God, where is the glory in all of this? You've got to understand, after you've suffered for a while, somebody say, well, Pastor, what's a while? Oh, my God, if it's in God's time, we don't even know what that's like. But know this, that when you suffer for a while, know this, that God's going to make up your suffering, and he's going to bless you. Watch this. The Bible says that after you have suffered a while, watch this, there's a comma. Then it says, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, and settle you. Because what you have to understand is that whenever you're in a place of suffering, you are in a place of unsettlement. You are so unsettled within yourself because you have no idea what direction God is getting ready to go in. You have no direction where your life is going. You have no direction. Understand that God just don't make no sense. It don't make no sense spiritually, and it don't make no sense naturally. God, where are you? Come on, Joe. Come on through here and help the people understand that when you go through suffering times, you're going to ask God, where are you? What are you doing, God? I don't see you nowhere. I don't understand why you're doing this. And then you trust me. Oh, my God. You allow the enemy to come after me because you trust me. And watch this. You didn't give me any kind of conversation. You didn't come to me and say, God, did not say anything to me prior to all of the suffering that was going to take place. You just said to the enemy, why have you tried Job? Why? He said, he's an upright man that fears God. He is not going to turn his back on me. Let's make a deal, Satan. I'll give you Job. You can't touch his soul. You can touch everything around him, but you cannot touch his soul. And my God, what is that when God makes a deal? What have you ever been in a place where God trusted you so much that he would take everything away from you, knowing that you are going to stand in spite of all the things that you've lost? But after this, my God in heaven, after you have suffered a while, Job, just know that I'm going to make you perfect. I'm going to give you back everything that you've ever been taken. I'm going to give it back to you better than what you had. See, sometimes we don't see what God is going to do. And we thought that the loss that we took was something that would be the worst thing that ever happened. And you said, I don't know if I'm going to ever get through this. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able. Life is going to be different. Now we're in a mindset right now where the pandemic has caused pandemonium. And we are people are losing it. And we're saying over and over again, this is the new norm. No, we've got to understand that after this, my God in heaven, let God show himself. Stop allowing the enemy or the adversary to make you believe that he's greater than God, that a pandemic can take over God's job, that a pandemic can take over your life, that a pandemic can take over the things that God. He says, and after this, if he did it for Job, if he did it for Noah, if he did it for all of those old saints, if he did it for John, and he did it for Peter, what makes you think that the God of all grace will not sustain you, establish you, and allow you to be stable after this? So, yes, the enemy is going to come. Yes, there are going to be losses. Yes, there are things that are going to be taken away. But after this, God's glory is going to be revealed. Now, y'all can say in the new normal, but I want y'all to know I'm going into the newness of the Almighty God. I'm going in the new things that God's getting ready to set me. What you think is the new normal is wearing masks and gloves and sanitizing everything. My God, I have a God that can blow his breath on the air and sanitize everything that's in here. But sometimes God's got to show us and teach us. Sometimes God's got to let us know who God really is. And so sometimes he's got to also let us know that it's not your goodness. It's not something that you did so wonderful while you sitting up there taking all God's glory. God said, no, no, no. The glory belongs to me. Even though I use you in ministry, God gets all the glory. And when we start pointing the glory back to God and taking it off by ourselves, what you've got to understand is that you can't handle God's glory. If you can't handle the suffering, you surely cannot handle the glory. Because glory, you've got to understand, suffering comes with glory. After you've suffered a while, you can't get God's glory without going through. Thank you, Lord. If you suffer with me, you shall reign with me.
Amen.
It's not excluded. You don't get to say, oh, okay, people can come and get all excited because you come in to preach, or they're getting excited because you come into town. That's nice and wonderful. But you're going to have to go through the suffering too.
Amen.
It's not always going to be glory, glory, glory. Hey, hey, hey. It's not going to always be that. Sometimes you're going to have to cry. Sometimes you're going to have to stay on your knees. Why? Watch this. Because the Bible lets us know we've got to keep ourselves in a place of humility. We've got to keep ourselves in a place of humbleness before God. When you start thinking that we are greater than God, you start thinking that this is the new normal. Because people who know God and trust God know that after this, there shall be glory. When is the after? After we suffered a while. When is a while? When God said he's done. Not a minute before, not a minute after. So what you've got to understand, when we are in this place, do not panic. Make sure that you are in a place that you're connected to God. And see, you got to understand, there are many people who have transitioned because of this pandemic, and that's why people are panicking, because they're scared of death. But those who are connected with God and know God knows that if I'm not in this body, that means I'm absent from this, that means I'm present with the Lord. Ain't that what we're trying to get to? Ain't that what we're striving to get to? I thought we were doing all of this so we could be in glory with the Almighty God. Now we're scared that death is coming because we got so much to do. I never accomplished this. I never did this. Let me explain something to you. You're going to do what God calls you to do, and when you have done all you can do and all God has assigned you to do, you're done. We're holding on to flesh-like things, material-like things, because we have not tapped into the spiritual realm. Can I tell you, there are some things that are going on in the heavens that you know nothing of. Things that we have never seen, and whatever you think heaven is like is much better than you can ever think. And while we're looking at all these devices and all these different things, who do you think gave man the mind to do what they do? They didn't just come out of the womb saying, okay, God gave me the mind. I got this mind to do it. I didn't do it. You did it on yourself. And then I patterned it, and I made this, and I made that. This was discovered, or this was created by this. But guess what? What you created was created by the Creator who created you. So you can't create anything outside of what God gives you the ability to create. So we still got to give that back to God. Oh, somebody in here understands what I'm saying. You got to understand everything, every gift that I've given, every perfect gift that's been given to man was given. It was not just because you showed up that you gave it to yourself. This was not your own gift given to you. It was given by God. So if you are the smartest person in the world, and you, if a person comes up with a vaccine that cures everything in the world, it was not given to you because you, it was not just placed in you because of you. It was given by God. A doctor, a lawyer, a preacher, all of those, but it doesn't matter what you were, whatever skill set you have, you didn't give it to you. Guess what? Can I help you too? Your mama didn't give it to you, and your father didn't give it to you. It was given by the Creator who created you. Let me help you, because I got to get off this phone. He gives every man a gift. The Bible tells us every man has been given a gift. Your first birthday gift was not given by your parents. It was not given at the baby shower. It was given when you were conceived. It was given to you when you were conceived so that you can live on earth with the ability to function with the gift that he gave you. And now we take the gift from the gift giver and act like we did it on our own. Where do we do this at? We've got to understand. We've got to always give back to God, whether you're tilling the ground or whether you are causing things to happen in the electronic world. Whatever you're doing is given to you by God. It's not because you're better than somebody else. It's just your gift. It is your gift. If you're the greatest singer in the world, it's amazing how we praise icons. We praise all of these artists out here. And the only reason why they have the ability to do what they do is because God gave them the vocals, gave them the talent to do what they do. I remember on the award shows, the first person they would always thank was God. After they cussed everybody else out, after it was over, then they gave God all the glory. Then now they stopped doing that. But we got to understand that we got to come back to the place where we first understand the reason why I am who I am, the reason why I have what I have, the reason why I do what I can do is not because of me. It is because of the Almighty God. And after all of this is over, people of God, after we say goodbye to this earth, after we say goodbye to our family and our friends, after we say goodbye to all of these different things in our lives, let us understand there's something that comes after this. Somebody said, well, what is it? Let me tell you something. We've got to make sure that our calling and our election is sure. That because of God's grace, he has called us. I don't know about y'all, but I've been called by God. I'm not perfect. That's why some of the things that we go through is not always stuff that people do to us. Some stuff we do to ourselves. And we've got to understand that sometimes we've caused our own pandemic in our own life. We cause things to cause just havoc in our own life. But God says, I know that you are not perfect. He says, that's why he says that Christ, by Christ, after that ye have suffered a while. even if it's the suffering of your own will that you have gone and put yourself in. He said, make you perfect. It's going to make you perfect. It's going to establish you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to settle you. Can I tell you, if you go through enough things in your life, it's going to give you strength. It's going to slow you down. If anybody was that teenager that was that wild teenager who just thought that nothing could break them, nothing could destroy them, so they just did whatever they wanted to do, however they wanted to do it. As they get older and they go through enough trials and tribulations, when they get caught enough, then they find themselves slowing down, starting to think a little bit more, making more greater decisions, thinking before they move. Why? Because when you get a little bit older, you understand that you can't just jump off a ledge 10 feet and always think you're going to survive. You know, so you've got to understand that God's grace is sufficient. And the more we go through, please understand, we're looking at our now, but there is an after. There shall be glory after this. And when the glory of God shall come, we shall know him and we shall see him for who he is. We're going to say, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for keeping me as a survivor, that I did not allow myself to destroy myself, and I did not allow anybody to separate me from you. So I just wanted to let you know on tonight that after this, there is glory. After this, even if you're going through, God's still going to sustain you and make your life better than it was. I keep telling that. I've said it from the beginning of this pandemic to this day, and I stand on the word of God. There shall be glory after this, but we're coming out of this better than we went in. God bless you. I hope that I said something. If there's anybody that has something to say, we've got about 9 minutes that you want to say something concerning this message that may have blessed you or may have that you saw in the text or something that I said might have blessed you or helped you or a question you may have to ask, please do so at this time. You can open up the line.
I have a question for you. You said strength from the troubles and tribulations. You get strength, mm-hmm. slow down. And what was the other two?
You're going to get strength. You're going to make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. That's out of verse 10 of 1 Peter and 1 Peter 5 and 10.
Okay.
I would also like to add on, you spoke of gifts. Those gifts are we were born with. Mm-hmm. Just a mere creation is a gift. And along with that mere creation, that we take for granted. That's why I use the word mere, but anyway, because it's far superfluous to that. But anyway, the gifts we have could be the gifts to talk, sing, to math or science, or to be able to reach people. God gave us gifts for a reason, and he wanted us to actually reach out to each one another. There's so much hatred being demonstrated. We not go out and demonstrate that as well. We demonstrate Christian love and try to make a difference in the lives of people we come in contact with. But we have to introspectively examine ourselves and understand what our gifts are and utilize them for God's purpose, not our purpose. I'm going to gain this and I'm going to gain that. And I'm going to walk on this person. You want to make a difference in a life. You want to follow God's word. Like John 3:15, that was a gift. For our sins, we receive life. The penalty of the wages of sin is death. But anyway, we want to look at ourselves and make the positive difference through God's will. That's why he gave us those gifts.
Amen.
Hey, good evening. Amen. This is Miles. Once again, Sister Pat, a phenomenal job. But you said something that really touched me. The very first gift we got when we were born, God gave it to us. That's a powerful statement. And I thank you for that. That resonated deep in my spirit, man. Appreciate you and God bless.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's so true. It's so true. All our giftings come from God. And, you know, we can't take those things for granted. We have to perfect all the gifts that he's given us. And you'll find out that you have more than one gift when you use the gift that you have. Don't bury it. Don't say somebody else can do it better than you. You may not sing as good as somebody else, but the more you sing, the better you become. Anything that you do, you perfect it by using it. When you don't use it, you neglect it, it stays in the condition that it's always been. So, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, well, I'm not that type of person, or I can't do this better than somebody else. Nobody asked you to do it better. We just asked you to do it. So when God sees that you're using the gift that he gave you, he gives you the blessing by perfecting the gift. And so we've got to understand, even in the trials and tribulations that we go through, you know, those things help us perfect the things that are within us. So there's some things that we got to go through. And whether we have to cry it out, whether we got to walk it out, whatever you got to do, do that. But God is going to sustain you to make life for you, for the path that he has for you. I don't know exactly everything that God has for me, but I know he has something great for me. And I don't expect anything less from God, because God called me and God called you. So he's calling out of you the greatness that's in you. He's not calling the things within you to sustain you, to just keep you in one spot and not move. No. And stop thinking that you're supposed to be where somebody else is supposed to be. That's my spot. No, because if that was your spot, God will put you there. So know that wherever you're supposed to be, God will bring you to that place. And it's not necessarily the place that somebody else is in. So we better understand, know where your places are. And sometimes know that the place that you're in, don't envy other people's places, because sometimes you're envying a place that you don't realize that God wants to take you to a greater place, but you want to minimize the place that you want to go to. No, let God do it, because sometimes God will allow you to see where you're going to go and surpass, you know. So we get jealous over things that other people have. Baby, if you knew what they had to go through to get what they have, you'd be happy where you are.
Amen.
I really enjoy listening to you, and I had to put in my mind years ago, whatever God has for a person is for that person. It's not for you. Whatever he has for you, you're going to get it before you leave this world if you're
Absolutely.
Obedient to him.
I believe that. I believe that. Strongly believe that.
I believe that, too. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Anyone else have anything to add, any comments, questions? This was a powerful message this evening, as usual, as you usually do. I told you all, she's on fire. She's on fire. This is a powerful message. The Lord has truly uses you, and truly used you to bless us this evening with this message. Remember that our messages are recorded, and if you want to share, if you most people have gotten a text from me, or you can go on Facebook and share it in that way to our site on Facebook or my page on Facebook to share the message with your family and friends. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. The advantage of having the archive messages is that we keep them alive by sharing them with people and to keep passing them on. This is a timeless message. It's not something that's just for today on September 16th, 2020. This is a message that is applicable forever, in Jesus' name. Listen, Pastor Mixon, would you please close us out? We have 60 seconds.
Absolutely.
Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word. We pray, oh God, for everyone that we prayed for earlier in this service, that you will touch and move by your power. We thank you, God, for every hearer, of this word on tonight. We pray, Almighty God, that you will bless them, that they will absorb the word, they will receive the word, they'll understand that there is a place for them in the kingdom of God. But we must submit to our elders, not only submit to our elders, but we have to be ourselves in a place where we are humble before you, O God. And after we've suffered a while, let them know that after a while that you're still going to let the glory of God be revealed in their life. Know that, let them know that, God, you have never left us nor forsake us, but you shall be with us even to the ends of the earth. And we give your name praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing you from everyone next week. Collect your praise reports so we have the praise reports to share. I'm believing for healing and restoration. I'm believing for praise reports and rejoicing in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.